live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back, Raider Nation, on a Tuesday. This is Silver and Black Today, powered by our good friends, Salmon Ash Injury Attorneys, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. Scott Culbranson back here with Q Myers. Q, how are you on this Tuesday, brother?
Absolutely doing well, man. Appreciate being here with you. Excited about the show today and talking some Raider football.
Yes, we have a jam-packed show starting off right off the top so that he can get back to business. Brandon Parker, the Raiders offensive lineman, joins us. Of course, he had a great game against both the Browns and the Chargers this past week, forced into action and has really shown, I think, a huge amount of development and had a great game. I just got done watching all your film from this weekend, Brandon, and things are going really well. Congratulations on the big win and the great play.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate you for having me today.
All right, so Brandon, coming off these two games where you've done just an amazing job, again, like I said, I watched all the film today. I was really impressed with what you've been able to do. This offensive line has been faced with such adversity, and what's been the biggest difference for you now? You know, having sitting there in Cleveland not thinking you're going to play, then suddenly forced into action, and then you put these two games back-to-back together really well. What's it been like for you over this journey, and what where do you think you are as far as taking that next step to be the player you want to be?
It's just really shown me that you have to be ready at all times. You know, even more so this year, dealing with COVID and many different things that can go wrong on game day, as you can see with my brother there. But you know, it's just teaching to take every step and every item of preparation the same, because you never know when your time is coming and when you'll be called upon.
What has been the vibe in the offensive line room and with Coach Tom Cable? Obviously, you guys are very well prepared, so when your number is called, you guys can go in there and basically not miss a beat. But just what has been the vibe amongst your brothers in that room?
It's been really well. You know, we're I would pride ourselves on being a tight-knit group anyway in the first place. Like, we're all kind of like a bunch of brothers in one big family there. So, you know, when our brothers goes down, we take it amongst ourselves to be prepared and, you know, not let the family down. Step in, and we all know each other. We know how we play, and, you know, we just expect each other to perform and help us get the win each Sunday, whether who's up.
Brandon Parker, the Raiders offensive lineman, of course, he's played left tackle last game against the Chargers. And Brandon, Q mentioned Tom Cable there. I think Coach Cable, the job he's done with you guys in keeping that unit refreshed and ready to go, even when there's a man down, is really one of the most underreported stories in the NFL. What is it about Coach Cable and playing with him now into your third year? What is it about Coach Cable that gets all of that out of you guys, no matter which position you end up playing that week?
You got to give a lot of credit to him, man. Like you said, obviously, he's a very technically sound coach. You know, he pushes his weekend that we got in practice from individuals to the team sessions. You know, he doesn't pull any punches on grading us, and he's always been kind of 100% with us, you know, with good or bad. So, you know, you got a coach like that who's behind you every step of the way, not pulling any punches and telling you exactly what you need to do to be who you need to be, then you're going to be successful.
Talking right now with right tackle, left tackle, whatever you want to call him, offensive lineman, Brandon Parker for the Raiders. And Brandon, that's what I really wanted to go to next. One week you're at the right tackle position. Next week you're holding down the left tackle position. How difficult is that to transition from one side to the next and really not miss a beat?
It's been a great blessing, I guess. You know, it's a really way to put it. You know, I play both in practice and, I played the tackle all years in A&T, so it's kind of nice to get kind of back to my own stomping grounds. But I'm just happy to help out wherever I need to be in the team.
Yeah, Brandon, against the Chargers, watching you, I mean, you really put it to some guys and protected Derek Carr really well. And playing on that line with Gabe and obviously Rodney Hudson in there right now and Sam Young on the other side, what is it about those veterans what's the biggest lesson you've learned in those few years coming in? I mean, I know Richie's been out and obviously Colton, your draft mate's out, but what is it, what's the lessons you've learned from those wily veterans?
Man, just I guess really the best thing I've learned from all of them is just how they prepare. I mean, you got those guys week in and week out, and, you know, they pull no punches when it comes to getting ready to play on game day. You know, you see them spending time in the training room or putting extra time in the film room. I mean, reaching out to us during the week just to make sure we understand the concepts for every week. So, I mean, they don't play when it comes to preparing, and it shows on game day, because game day really is a, you know, it's a result of how well you prepared anyway. You know, obviously, there's intensity you picks up on game day, but you still have to be prepared to play, to have any chance of playing good in this league. So that's really the best thing I see from them.
We know that offensive linemen love to block downhill and love to run block. What is it like to run block for guys like Josh Jacobs and Devontae Booker, excuse me, running behind you guys?
Man, it's great, man. Like, you know, those guys, they run with everything they got every week. I mean, shoot, you see Josh, sometimes you feel like he's just, you know, he's on one leg sometimes and still running people over and running for extra yards. I mean, you play for a guy who gives you his all every day, week in and week out, then it's easy to block how we do, because you know you got somebody who's going to back you up 100% right behind you.
Brandon Parker is our guest here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. And Brandon, running downhill and all that stuff, your strength has been run blocking, but your pass blocking, to me, I've seen such an amazing jump from your first year all the way to this year. What is it now for you in the pass blocking that's given you the confidence and the skill set to become even better at that role?
Really, just since camp, just, you know, kind of zooming in on my technique a little bit, you know, kind of a little confidence, you know, another year, the game kind of slows down as well. That's a big attribution to it, but really just fine-tuning where I need to be and what I need to do to have the best chance of success at the rep, and just learning how to repeat that, you know, being consistent. That's really kind of been what I've been trying to focus on as a player, you know, especially this year, is just being more consistent. So that's kind of, it's starting to show.
I know it's a couple weeks removed now, but let's go back to Cleveland and that just crazy weather that you experienced. And again, like Scott said at the top, you didn't even know that you were going to play, and then all of a sudden you get sprung into action. What was it like being out there in that bizarre, crazy, just weather type situation?
You know, it felt like your little kid playing in the backyard with all that snow and, you know, whatnot. You know, we all as football players dream of kind of playing in the snow, you know, let's get from Texas or something, but we all kind of dream of that. So, you know, it's kind of felt like backyard football a little bit. And we got to run the ball, which is, you know, what I love to do anyway. So it felt really good playing in that weather.
Well, for you, Brandon, too, coming in, obviously with Coach Gruden's first year, so you haven't had another coach in the NFL, but the evolution of the team and the mindset in the locker room as a total, not just in the offensive line room, but what is it that you see in that development? Then Mike Mayock comes in year two, and you've seen the defense made over, you've seen your offense just continue to get better with added weapons. Sure. What's the difference for you from year one to year three in what it's like in the building?
It's hard to really say, you know. I guess you could kind of contribute to them bringing, you know, better team spirit of guys around in the building. But, I mean, I really can't say one thing, I guess, that makes it better than the next. You know, I think it's just I'm developing and a bunch of guys with me who are on the team and just got the team to continue to develop and improve. And we just all have that same mindset to get better every week. And, you know, that's how we find the ways to win.
How has it been now that you are a Las Vegas Raider? This is the first year, obviously, in Las Vegas, Allegiant Stadium. How has the transition been for you?
It's been great, you know. Really, the hardest part has been dealing with the heat. Kind of now the heat's died down, but really a month or so of 100-plus temperature is kind of hard to get used to. But, you know, you get used to that after a while. The city's been really well in receiving all of us. So we're starting to really kind of love it here and find a way to call it home.
Brandon, Derek Carr. I mean, you look at Derek Carr. What do you see with him? Because I love when I watched you guys. I saw those guys play down at the park during the offseason. I just saw an edge to him, right? And I've seen it this year. And he's said too. We asked Hunter Renfrow, who's on our show every Tuesday or Monday, excuse me. He said that, you know, Derek's just not thinking. Have you seen a difference in him last year versus this year?
I would say so. That man has really kind of – he's gotten better every year I've been with him, you know, as you want to see from your, you know, your QB1. And I think, you know, he's got the thing going on, sleep season and, you know, mama mentality. And it's kind of really showing, you know. I remember him saying, I don't know if it was like June or July, but just tired of the disrespect that he's playing and preparing like it. So, you know, I love seeing somebody get fired up and kind of have that never-ending chip on their shoulder this season to kind of get to the ultimate dance.
What was your thoughts when you saw him go over the top on that that run to pick up that big first down last week against the Chargers?
And I was trailing behind him, and I really, in my mind, I was like, what are you doing? But I understood why he did it and looked at the tape, because he had to get the first down, I appreciated it so much more, because he was willing to put his body on the line to make sure we got that first. So I loved him for it.
Well, we took a poll, Brandon, and Raider Nation wants to see you do that next, so... Get ready.
Sounds good.
Get ready for it. But as we get set, you know, you got some of your teammates that are going to be coming back here from injury pretty soon, so your role might change again. What is it with the mindset amongst the offensive linemen that that keeps it, you know, hey, just ready to go at any moment and really just set for whatever happens, no matter what your role? You might be playing one game, you might not be playing the next game, but you guys all seem to have that sort of, I think, combined mindset that it doesn't matter who it is as long as the job gets done.
Yeah, and it's really just about a bunch of guys just being, you know, selfless players and understanding that it may not be their time, or, you know, you may not be needed at that moment, but, you know, who's to say the next time we need you? Just be prepared. And for the guys that's up, like myself, if I'm down or inactive 1 week, I say the same prayer every game, man. Let the guys who are playing be healthy and play the best game possible. At the end of the day, I just want to win. You know, just win, baby, like they say.
No doubt. And, Brandon, sticking with, you know, the mindset, when you're lining up on that offensive line and you have a Myles Garrett across from you or Olivier Vernon or you have a Melvin Ingram across from you, what goes through your mind before that ball is snapped?
You better bring your lunch. That's really how I think about it. You know, that's all two all-pro guys. And, you know, and those two guys alone, let alone the rest of the season you play, so... You know, you really got to come ready, prepared to battle, and understand that because of the guys who they are, they're going to lose some. It's just going to happen. It's a game. But, you know, you got to do it and shake it off, adjust, and learn from it and bounce back and continue to play.
And, Brandon, this offense has had a good year already at 5-3 now, and you guys are putting up points on the board. When you move the ball, you can control the ball like we saw in Cleveland if you have to. You can throw it deep if you have to. Just how much better can this offense be? Because I see a lot of players who haven't had a chance really yet to shine, but they're there, and you know they're going to. What do you look at when you see that offense and you see your teammates and what is possible the remainder of the year?
Man, I guess we're firing all cylinders right now. It's kind of hard to see just how great we really, you know, truly can be. But up until that point, you know, the guys who are performing well, we hope they continue to perform well. And guys like myself who may be on the shelf 1 week or, you know, starting the next, we just hope that everybody's continuing to get better through the year. And when the time's called upon, like you said, because we know they're capable of that, you know, that they do the job they're supposed to.
What has been the message from Coach Gruden throughout this season? You mentioned earlier that dealing with COVID obviously is a big-time issue. It's an issue for everybody. But just going into this year and knowing what your goals are inside that locker room, what has been the main message from Coach?
Just keep playing, you know. Take it 1 week at a time, you know, whether win or loss. Obviously, we want to win. But, you know, even through the losses, you got to keep playing. Don't hang your head too much. Look at the film, adjust, and learn from it, and get ready to battle next week because, you know, if you focus one game at a time, eventually those wins are stacked where you want to be. So that's what our mindset has been, just 1 week at a time.
All right. Well, Brandon, listen, I'll tell you what, man, the hard work you've been putting in, the stuff that none of us get to see because you guys are doing it in practice and you're just grinding it out in the gym, everything, it's really showing, man, and we appreciate you spending some time with us. We wish you the continued good luck, and we'll see you out there with Denver.
Sounds good. Appreciate it. Thank y'all for having me.
All right. There you go. Brandon Parker, left tackle, right tackle, wherever you need him, tackle. And maybe the
other. Yeah, he just does whatever.
He just does
That's why I wanted to call him a right tackle, but then I realized, hey, last week played left tackle. So he's just, you ask and he'll play it.
Exactly. And I'll tell you what, Q, I did this morning, got up, the kids were getting ready for school, and I got my coffee and I started watching film. So I focused on a couple guys. First was him, because he's going to be on the show today. And man, every player's got a couple plays here and there where they get beat or whatever. That's going to happen when you're playing other pros. But I'll tell you what, he had some knockdown dragouts with some of those guys on the Chargers and really just set the tone. He had that blind side to Derek Carr, never gave up a sack to Derek Carr on his side. And for those that didn't think Brandon Parker could play, watch the film, because now I know you got to do it consistently, don't get me wrong, but the progress that he's made so quickly has been pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it really has, you know, and he was a guy that there was a lot of question marks around, but he's doing his thing, and he's showing why when the Raiders made a trade with Washington and sent one of their offensive linemen, they kept him around. They saw something in practice. They saw something that they knew that they liked and that he was going to be needed at some point in the season, mm-hmm. and lo and behold, it popped up, and he filled the void.
Yeah, and I'm just remarkable to me that in the series of 4 weeks or so, his pass blocking, something just clicked, and the hard work and the technique, he just got it down, and it looks good.
Well, that's the thing, Scott. It's like the more you work, for most of these guys, there's a reason they got to the league. They were the best at their position at one point in their career. You know, some point along the line, they were the very best. Now you got to keep working, and Hunter tells us this all the time on Mondays when we talk to him. You got to keep working and grinding to make you know, yourself better and master your position. And that's what Brandon Parker is attempting to do now.
Well, and I think it's also a cautionary tale to fans out there in Raider Nation, which is before you start giving up on a guy, before you say that they were a waste of a pick or whatever, you need to wait and see. Because sometimes some guys could walk right off of a college campus, go in the pros, and they perform right away. Other guys take a little bit of time to develop. And I think Brandon Parker is one of those guys who's coming along. And, you know, when Richie Incognito comes back and Colton Miller comes back and Trent Brown comes back, he'll be on the bench again probably. But you know what? They've seen what they have in him, and they know his potential, and they know he's starting to click. And it's got to make you feel better because there's certainly more depth there. What do you guys think, too? It was a great interview. 702-365-9200. Also, Q, coming up on the show, just to set the table for everybody because we went.
I mean, that's a way to start, you know, start the show.
I love that.
That might be a mic drop moment. Why don't we just go ahead and call it a day?
Bobby, play Aerosmith for the rest of the time.
Right, 15 minutes and we're out.
We're out. Coming up on the show, Jesse Merrick, of course, from News 3 Las Vegas, covers the Raiders on a daily basis. He'll be with us in his usual Tuesday segment. And then at the top of the next hour, Dieter Kurtenbach, Bay Area News Group. You guys are familiar with him, columnist. Mm-hmm. He wrote a great piece about Tom Cable. Right. By the way, we tried to get Coach Cable on the show. Coach Cable does not want to do radio at this point, probably because he's so damn.
I'll get him.
He's probably so damn focused on keeping.
I'll get him though.
Okay.
You me and Tom Cable go back like the Commodores. I told you that last week.
That's right. So
I'll make it happen.
Q's gonna get him. So we'll get it. We'll get him eventually. But Dieter wrote a great piece where he admitted he was wrong. Like so many, what we were talking about the last week, right, Q, which is so many fans, so many observers, media members were like, what are you thinking? He did terrible in Seattle. That zone blocking is not going to work with the Raiders. It's outdated. Well, he's changed up his scheme. He's doing a lot more different looks on that offensive line. And so we're going to talk to Dieter because Dieter admitted, hey, I was wrong.
Right. Well, a lot of us were, you know, so that's something that it's good for him to admit that. And it's good for anyone to admit that, because, again, there was a ton of questions around that offensive line, even after like the first year that Tom Cable was back.
Yeah.
But once they were able to bring some players in, some pieces in, like a Trent Brown, like a Richie Incognito, you saw what he was able to do. And it was starting to get better and get better and get better. And look, it's not easy to practice the zone blocking scheme just because you're blocking against nobody. It's not like you're man up on man. You know what I mean? It's like you're blocking to an area.
Yeah. No, it's very difficult. And I think, too, developing young talent is huge. And he's been able to do that with Colton Miller. You see Brandon Parker, who we just spoke to. So you see what's happening there, too. And that, to me, is a sign of a good coach, because not only is he getting the veterans or all out of the veterans that he can, but he's bringing those young guys along, teaching them those schemes, as you said, which are not easy because most people are not used to it. And so just amazing stuff. So we'll talk to Dieter about that. We'll, of course, have the Q-tip. And then we'll end the show talking about our sided Raider Nation debate of the week, along with some NFL news. But that debate we'll talk about has to do with the Raiders' defensive front. Yes, as the offensive line played great, of course, probably their best game, actually. And then the defensive line actually played good. And I watched some video there, too, which some of it made me very happy. Other parts of it made me very perplexed on a certain player. So we'll talk about that as well.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Oh, well, you won't be surprised to who, but it was interesting to watch the coverages too, Q, in the defensive backfield for the Raiders. And there's a lot of communications issues still on that defense.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you watch the coach's film, because you don't see it when you're watching TV, but you see players screaming at each other, calling, and they're lost, right? So there's still some issues there, which, you know, begs the question, is it scheme and it's confusing and they just haven't grasped it yet? But we'll talk about that as well. All right, we're going to take a break. We're also taking your calls. 702-365-9200 is the Raider Nation hotline. Also text us at 69186 on the Sam and Ash text line. Coming up next, Jesse Merrick, News 3 Las Vegas. We'll talk to him about the Raiders, where he thinks they're at, and the big game coming up against the Broncos, or the Donkeys, as you call them, here at Allegiant Stadium. You're with Q Myers, Scott Gilbranson, Silver and Black today, Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gilbranson and Q Myers.
Oh yeah, welcome back on this Tuesday. Silver and Black today. Your boy Q Myers, Scott Gilbranson, along for the ride. Big thank you to Brandon Parker for joining us top of the show. If you missed it, don't worry. We got you. Right after the show, we usually within about 30 minutes, we have links to the show. You can get them on your favorite podcast aggregator.
Wait, what?
Aggregator.
What about a gator?
Some boots, maybe?
Right.
But you could find it there. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your music and your podcast. You can find us there and you can listen to that Brandon Parker interview. But thanks to him for having the time to come on and talk to us after what was a great game for him and for the Raiders. Q, did you hear the NFL news today that their plan C, if you will, for COVID, if they have to cancel too many games, because we are seeing an uptick of COVID in the league, then they will expand the playoffs by another team. So it'll be 16 teams in the playoffs.
Yep, I saw that. I've been on that for a while. Been watching that. I saw that, you know, that was going to be something that the owners were going to vote on, and then they did, and made that happen. So there you go.
There you go. So that's the plan C. Hopefully they don't get to the plan C. And the Raiders right now sitting in the number six seed if the season ended today, which, of course, it's not. We're only halfway through. So we'll see. All right, we're going out on the Newsmaker line. We're bringing in our good friend, Jesse Merrick from News 3 in Las Vegas. You can follow Jesse at JesseNews3LV on Twitter. Jesse, big win for the Raiders. And I'll tell you what, keeping in the theme with interviewing Brandon Parker to start the show, you talk about the job that Tom Cable has done. This guy might need to be put up on some marquees on the Las Vegas Strip. He's doing so well.
Hey, what's up, guys? Appreciate having me on. I totally agree. We have a segment on every Sunday we call Spotlight, where we kind of pick something to highlight. And I highlighted Cable 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, man, it's crazy. Every single week he gets that group ready to go. And you know the offensive line never gets love. So maybe Gruden starts shelling out some cash with those billboards, or maybe gets him a really nice present at the end of the year.
Yeah, that would be something right there. But the thing about it is, really, if the offensive line isn't being talked about too much, that means they're doing everything right, which it seems like they're doing a lot of things right these days.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, it's you know the old cliche of next man up and everything like that, and they've really embodied that in every possible way. I mean, think about how many different combos we've seen. And again, I think I said it last week with you guys, we've only seen the starting offensive line get three full snaps together. So, I mean, we keep saying when they get healthy, and they keep adapting to these injuries and all these things that keep popping up. And so it's been impressive, especially last week, the way that they did it against the Chargers. You know, how many times we see Josh or Devontae moving with nobody around them, or Devontae's touchdown not even getting touched with those two big guys running out in front of them. I mean, that is some impressive stuff. And to be able to get that kind of athleticism and production out of your twos and even sometimes threes, depending on how it really shakes up, it's really impressive for them to be able to do that.
Jesse Merrick is with us here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. And Jesse, staying on the offensive side of the ball, one of the kind of conversations I've seen coming out of the weekend and over the last week and a half, and we mentioned it yesterday here on the show, is this kind of, and I'm going to use air quotes here, even though nobody can see me, concerned about Henry Ruggs, because Henry Ruggs hasn't been that involved in the offense. And I want to see him involved in the offense just because he's a damn exciting player to watch. But I think people are maybe overreacting here. Why would you be concerned this if this offense wasn't moving the ball, if Nelson Aguilar wasn't stretching the field vertically, if Josh Jacobs wasn't running the ball and creating open space, then I would be concerned about the offense. But should anybody really be concerned with a young kid who's first in the league?
No, I really don't think so. And, I mean, I know it's easy to see some of the other receivers that have had some success as rookies and things like that and say, why isn't he doing that? You know, he was the first receiver off the board, all these things. But, again, they always say a receiver is the toughest thing to adjust to when you come into the NFL, especially in an offense like John Gruden's as well. But also realize, too, I mean, in the last, two games, he had the touchdown that wasn't a touchdown or was, depending on where you're at, against the Browns. And then this week he had the one, I believe it was on the sideline, couldn't get his toes down. And Gruden even talked about maybe he needs to work on some white line drills to get those toes in bounds. So it's kind of just the growing pains, man. I mean, you got to be patient with him. We know the kid's a game breaker. And again, like you mentioned, they've been able to do it without him. And also think about the fact of how Nelson Agholor has emerged as one of the better deep threats in the league, which is surprising to say. I got into an argument about that with my boss, and he kind of proved me wrong with some of that. The dude's been killing it. He's averaging 20 yards a catch. But, yeah, it's very, you know, positive they can get that done without Ruggs. It's just a matter of time for that kid. He's going to figure it out. You know how smart he is. You know he works hard. He blocks. He does everything right. It's just kind of a matter of putting it all together and really getting some more opportunities.
You know, you brought up Nelson Agholor, and I wanted to ask you about him. How surprised are you he's playing as well as he is, especially after the way he left Philadelphia?
Very surprised. I mean, I'm going to be completely honest. We all know what he was known for in Philly. I mean, in his time there, he got 59% of the balls that were thrown his way. Now he's up almost a full 10% this year in Vegas. And I know it's a small sample size because he was in Philly for 5 years, only been here for, 8 games. But still, I mean, the fact that he's catching 68% of the passes, improving, showing that improvement. I believe he's tied for ninth in the NFL and catches, touchdown catches by a receiver. So, again, and the fact that he's averaging 20 yards a catch, I mean, that's unreal. We all heard Mayock and Gruden bring his name up a lot in the offseason, but I think we all kind of brushed it off because we were like, it's Nelson Agholor. But, man, he has been really impressive. He's probably shut up a lot of people, myself included. Even at camp, I was kind of hating at him, watching him run some routes and stuff. But as you watch camp go on, you could tell he got more and more comfortable. He's more and more smooth. And he's shown it. And again, he's got those 5 touchdown catches. He should have 6, as Gruden noted on Monday, that the one that got called back against Buffalo, I believe it was.
Jesse Merrick is with us here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. And Jesse, the one thing I wanted to bring up, because as we move forward, we start to look at the Denver game. Of course, the Raiders coming home after spending 2 games on the road to take on the rival Broncos here in Las Vegas. But the Raiders so far have not been very good at home. I know it's only a 3-game sample, but they're one of 6 teams below 500 at home, and they're the only team below 500 at home with a winning record. And of course, you know, there's no fans in the stands. We get that. But don't the Raiders really need to come out and establish some sort of home field advantage for themselves psychologically, but also for other teams coming in?
Heck yeah. I mean, we know what Mark Davis said. It's the Death Star where opponents come to die. You have to establish that. You know, what better time than against this Q called them the Ponies? I could get in trouble because I worked in Colorado my first year in the business. So some people might be coming after me on Twitter if they're listening. But yeah, man, I mean, you got to start to establish that. And you have to be able to string wins together at home and make it a scary place to come. You know, as crazy as COVID is and all the different rules surrounding things, what teams can and can't do on the road, it's, you know, maybe a little easier to avoid distractions, I guess, when you're on the road. But at the same time, you have to hold down your fort at home. Got to make it a tough place to play. It is nice that they've been able to play as well as they have on the road, but you got to have that consistency. And hey, maybe they're just missing Raiders fans in the black hole and having that around them. Maybe that's been really tough to adjust to not having at home. I'm not really sure what it is, but also to take a look at some of the teams that they have played at home, that maybe, you know, adds into it a bit there as well. And they're going to get some teams here playing at home that they can totally beat, but you've got to be able to establish that home field in order to make it a scary place to play, because you do that and then you pair it with the way they played on the road, and the Raiders are going to be a real dangerous team, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think definitely not having any fans in the stands has a lot to do with it, but you're right. Definitely need to go ahead and establish that home field advantage. Now, Jesse, looking at the defense, and in particular the secondary, we know who Jonathan Abram is on the back end. He's a headhunter. He's going to go out there on a mission. But what were your thoughts on Isaiah Johnson? He got a little bit of burn. He came in for Trayvon Mullen. He was banged up and obviously made a couple big plays at the end. But what did you see just from Isaiah Johnson, his overall, you know, performance on Sunday?
I mean, I was really impressed. And I'm going to take this time to give a shout-out to a certain special Raiders fan out there that came after me on Twitter a couple weeks back against the Bucks when I said Isaiah Johnson should get some more burn. He told me I was wrong, that Isaiah was horrible, all this stuff. And I was so happy when he made those plays. Just to be like, man, I hope that guy thought of me. But anyway, I digress. He has done really well, I think, in the couple snaps that he did get. You know, he comes in, and I think everybody is like, oh, no, here we go, because when Trayvon goes out, you're missing Arnett. You're like, all right, this is where things really start to break down. And throughout the game, you didn't really, I guess, realize that he was in until the end, which is a good thing. Like you said, the O-line, we don't talk about him. That's usually a good thing. Well, when you don't really hear a corner's name, it's a good thing unless he starts breaking up passes. Then you're like, all right, sweet, that's how we're hearing him. But if you don't hear a guy's name, it means he's not getting burned. He's not getting a lot of catches on him. So I was impressed with Isaiah. And, you know, you got to give credit to Herbert. He put those balls on the money, on the goal line, and gave his receivers a chance to make a play. They both had them in their hands, and Isaiah kept fighting and fought all the way till the end. And I think that's something that shows you, you know, a lot of guys maybe won't fight all the way till the end to the ground in order to knock that thing out. And I think his size factor really is a difference maker as well, because, again, he's the biggest corner on this team, and it's not all about size, but that definitely plays into it when you go up against these big-bodied tight ends that are really more so like receivers anyway, especially around the goal line. So I would like to see him get a little bit more, but Gruden doesn't seem as confident in him, because even when we talked to him yesterday about it, you know, he said he's still a work in progress. So I'd have to go back through with a fine-tooth comb to kind of watch more of his snaps, but overall, I was impressed with him, and I do want to see more of him, you know, throughout the course of the games moving forward.
Yeah, we've been calling for that too. I know you're the same. And then let's look at the defensive line showed some signs of life. They had 14 pressures against the Chargers, 6 by Cleland Furl, who had just a great game. Then you had Carl Nassib, you had Max Crosby, Malik Collins even got in there one time, and Jonathan Abram coming up and rushing as well as Nick Kwiatkowski. But that defensive line, Jesse, there's signs of life there. And it was good to see them 2 games in a row take a step in the positive direction.
Yeah, it's impressive, man. I mean, and they also had 7 QB hits against the Chargers as well. So maybe if you don't necessarily get home on the sack, at least, you know, the old saying, you affect the quarterback, and they were able to do that. And, you know, it's crazy what a blitz and bringing some pressure will do to help your defensive line, right? I mean, that's big that they started doing that. And also, you know, Q, you talked earlier about Jonathan Abram, what he brings to this defense. Man, him as a blitzer is so impressive. The speed that he brings. I mean, you know, all year long we talk about offenses needing to know where he is. Well, when you know that he's coming, you got to be able to figure out where he's coming from, because if not, he is going to destroy your quarterback, and he's not a dude that you want to give a free your quarterback to. So that's another thing that offensive lines have to account for. So, you know, I think mixing up the pressures, maybe some of the stunts and the looks and things like that have helped him. And so maybe Gunther has broken out of that, hey, I just want to rush the four, not do anything too sexy, stay in our base of what we do. Well, clearly that didn't work. They started mixing it up. Things have been changing a bit. They still have a lot to work on, because they're, what, tied for 30th in the league in sacks, 26th in QB hits, and 21st in pressures. So a lot of room to grow, but it is improving. And again, against some of these teams that are coming down the pipe, you've got to be, you know, kind of licking your chops a little bit, because some of them don't necessarily have the best offensive lines in the world, so maybe they start to eat a bit and get home with some more of that pressure.
No doubt.
What are your thoughts on Cleland Furl? I appreciated him playing in the inside, the defensive tackle position, but what are your thoughts of what he's been able to do from the inside position?
I think it's been good, man. I mean, that's so many people. I mean, I get it. He was the number 4 overall pick. You want to see him play. But at the same time, it's a development game. Everybody's doing it, especially when they're asking him not to do one thing, just sit outside and learn that role. He's got to learn both the roles. And I have been impressed with him when he moves inside, you know, the way that he's able to stop the run. Because at the end of the day, you know, he is more of that run-stopping type of D lineman. You know, the passing attack, he's not really a pass rusher in theory. You know, he wasn't the complete package, I guess, was the kind of knock on him coming out of college. And run stopping was more of his deal. So the way that he's able to shed blocks, you know, not as consistency as we'd like to see, but the way that he's been able to do it at times has been really impressive. And he does have a high motor too, much like Max. You know, those are two guys that you don't have to worry about their effort and their intensity. And I think we're going to continue to see Klee grow more and more throughout the year, throughout the season. And especially in this one, I'm blanking on the O-lineman's name that went out against the Chargers. But when he went out, that's when you saw him really get going inside and was able to get to the backfield and start to do more and really shake things up a bit. And I think that's more his game. I'd like to see him move inside more. Maybe they start playing massive more out there on the outside and let Klee go inside a bit more.
Yeah, both Klee and Max Crosby, Bulaga, there you go. Both Klee and Max Crosby really disrupted Herbert most of the day, and that was huge in that win. Jesse Merrick, as always, my friend, thank you for joining us. Make sure you follow Jesse at JesseNews3LV on Twitter. Jesse, we'll see you at the game on Sunday, man.
For sure. Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
All right. Jesse Merrick joins us every Tuesday. Yeah, good stuff, man. And it's Jesse's out there every day, so we're glad to have him on. And we're going to get a call in before the break. Q, you ready?
I'm always ready.
We need to talk to some people. Going out to your pal and my pal, everybody's pal, El Paso Raider. You're on with Scott and Q. What's up, bud?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Haven't forgotten about you guys, man.
We didn't forget about you either, man.
It's been getting very busy out here, and first of all, I want to say happy late birthday to Q, and my condolences to you, Mr. Scott. I heard the news last week, and you know, keep your head up, man.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
But yeah, I want to comment on the games. You know, I think both wins were pretty much a team win. You know, they played hard. They're showing that they can do it with anybody at any given Sunday, right? They can play with anybody. I mean, I still feel like there's some things to clean up on the defensive side. A couple of things, you know. I've been screaming for guys to come out of the bench and start playing and let other guys get in there and make some plays. And obviously, we saw that with Isaiah Johnson this week against the Chargers. So yeah, it was good. And man, how about Derek Carr, man, with that jump? Awesome, man. I love seeing our quarterback, you know, taking that lead, command, respect, and that leadership. But how about that offensive line as well? You know, Tom Cable's doing a great job. If there was an assistant coach of the year, he'd be my pick for sure. And shout outs to Colin Miller and Brandon Parker, man. In that same draft, everybody was kind of down on them, but they're proving to be who we thought they could be, because hard work pays off, man, and that's what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
El Paso Raider, man, have a great rest of your week. We appreciate you.
Stay safe out there, brother.
Yes, sir. You guys too, man. Be safe.
All right, there you go, El Paso Raider. Thanks for calling. Yeah, good call, man. It's a good week in Raider Nation. By the way, Q, you hear there's positive feedback coming now from national media?
Yeah, no, I see that.
Yeah,
and we all knew that was going to start happening as soon as the Raiders start winning on a consistent basis.
Right. It's funny though; people get mad about it.
Yeah.
Where were you when we were losing? Well, that's how they go.
Well, they're not fans.
No.
You know, so, I mean, not national media will start paying attention when they're like, whoa, hey, what does Las Vegas have going on? Mm-hmm. Okay, wait, hold on. They're cooking with grease. Especially, I'll say this, when you win games on the road, that even carries more weight. And the Raiders have won four out of five on the road.
Yes. And that's why I brought up the home field advantage thing, which we'll talk about when we come back from the break. You're listening to Silver and Black today on this Tuesday on your place for Raiders Radio. That, of course, Raider Nation Radio 920.
It's Silver and Black today.
Phil Villapiano, welcome to Raider Nation Radio.
The Raiders have probably never gotten even close in the craziness that's going to happen once we get to Vegas. So, I mean, I love Oakland to death, but the timing is perfect to get to Vegas and win a few more Super Bowls.
Silver and Black today with Scott Gulbranson, weekdays at 2 on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM.
Silver and Black today here on this Tuesday, talking Raider football. So far, you heard from Brandon Parker. You also heard from Jesse Merrick. Coming up top of the next hour, we're going to be joined by Bay Area News Group columnist Dieter Kurtenbach about Tom Cable. He did a mea culpa and said he was wrong about Cable. Kind of blasted the hiring, and now he says, nah, not so bad. In fact, the opposite of bad. So we'll talk to him about that. The Q-tip coming up later as well. We're going to roll through some of your calls. 702-365-9200 is the number if you want to get on. It is Rossi in Australia. He's calling us twice in a row, 2 days in a row from down under. What's going on, Rossi?
All good, guys. How are you?
Good, man. Doing good.
Chilling.
That's good. Couple of things. I agree that home field advantage, we need to start playing like it is our actual home field, but it is a new stadium, not just for us, but for everybody else. And the two losses are arguably the best two teams in each conference. I'll just throw that one out there, just to pour a little bit of cold water on that. I'm going to be controversial, because we all love this guy. But I said yesterday I was going to bring up the D. Jonathan Abram is starting to worry me, concern, perturb me. Energy on the field is awesome. Hits in the open field, yeah, absolutely. When he hits them, they're fantastic. I'm seriously worried about his coverage skills, though. Mm. I'm starting to see teams start to target him. There was a couple of passes, certainly from Herbert as well. But I found that if you actually go through that tape, he's not standing out as well as what he should be for the type of game that he's actually playing. He's missing a lot. So I'm just really wondering what your thoughts are across him moving forward. And also understanding that, obviously, this is his first year, slash second. But also, great interview with Brandon Parker. I know I was one of the first people to jump on his back last year. But fantastic interview. Sounds like he's maturing and certainly being coached the right way.
Yeah, Rossi, thanks, man. It's so crazy. You read my mind on the Jonathan Abram thing, because in watching the game and watching the coach's film, yeah, there was several times where he was sort of lost in coverage. And it begs the question, Q. I mean, look, he's still a young player. He's a rookie. I mean, let's not forget that. Yep. He played for what, 30 minutes last year? That was it. Okay, so he's a rookie. So Rossi, I'm there with you with the concern. I'm not as concerned, though, because I understand that he's a rookie. The second piece of that, though, is that there's nobody back there right now. I know you could point to LaMarcus Joyner, but he's not that kind of leader. There's no mature dog in the backfield right now.
Right.
And I think that's hurting Jonathan Abram, too. There's nobody back there to bark at him, to tell him, you know, if he's playing off, if he's not doing what he's supposed to kind of get up on him in a friendly way and say, hey, man, this is what you need to be. This is what you need to be doing. And I think
he's that guy.
Yeah, he's that guy. And I think the Raiders, that's one of the key deficiencies that they're going to have to address going into next offseason.
I agree 100%. And that's the thing, man. It's like he's the leader of the pack, but yet he's still learning at the same time. You know what I mean? So it's one of those, like, you can't expect him to do everything the right way because he's just doing it how he knows, and it's not necessarily the right way all the time.
No, absolutely. But Rossi also brought up the home field advantage thing, and I'm not overly concerned with it, because like I said, it's only three games. And of course, it was the Bills and the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers, when they were ascending a little bit in this little win streak that they had. But if you look at the teams, Q, undefeated teams at home, the Chiefs, the Steelers, the Browns, the Titans, and the Colts, right? Teams at 500, the Dolphins, Patriots, Ravens, and Bengals. And then in the rest of the AFC West is actually having losing records at home, the Broncos, Chargers, and the Raiders. Now, the reason I say this is important, because to me, I think for the Raiders to be a playoff team like we all think they can be, now, hey, if they win all the games on the road, then it'll prove me wrong. But the Raiders, to me, got to win six games at home. Right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Right?
So as long as you win 10 games at the end of the season, that's all that matters.
And that's my point. You're exactly right, dead on here, which is you win six at home. Now, they've already lost two, so they got to win out at home. You win six. You win six at home, and then you go 500 on the road. That gets you to 10 wins, right? And so to me, that's why I think it's so important for them to come in and really do this. Now, the one problem they have is they have to face the Chiefs at home. That's the big one. Not that any of the other teams are pushovers, but I'm just telling you that they need to start establishing identity at home, because even though the stadium's empty, now all the teams I mentioned who are undefeated at home have some fans in the stands.
Right, exactly.
Not for every game, but for the majority of the season thus far, starting maybe early October, they've had fans there. So that does make a difference. Even 5,000 fans in Pittsburgh make a difference. So the Raiders don't have that ability to do that. So if they can come out, beat Denver, and boy, if they can beat Kansas City, then all bets are off on what they could end up doing this year. But I do think come home, win that game against Denver, and start to establish some feel for that as we do it. All right, we're going out on the phone lines to Bowling Green, Kentucky, and we're going to talk to Charles. Charles, what's going on?
Hey, Scott, Q, how you guys doing? Hey, I had a little bit different take to this game. I'm usually always positive. I'm not one of the guys that's negative. My favorite quarterback's always the Raider quarterback. But, you know, the thing that sticks out in this game for me was we were about to blow this team out, and the end of this game shouldn't have ever been. Explain to me on that 3rd and 2 when we had an 8-point lead and we decided to go 30 yards down the field into double coverage. That's so not like Gruden. Why didn't we just grind it out there, go down, either kick a field goal, score a touchdown, and walk off the field? That was the oddest play call. And if you're going to make that play call, you got to go for it on the 3rd and 2. Now, the 3rd and 2 on the field goal, you have to kick the field goal.
Yeah.
But that play it just made my head want to explode. It's like, here's the momentum, San Diego, or not San Diego, L.A. Here, just take the momentum from us because we got it. Right. Carr played their incredible third quarter. And let's just keep the ball in his hands. Why not run the ball twice there? It didn't make any sense.
Yeah, Charles. So two ways to look at that one. It's a good point. Two ways to look at it. Number one is you go for the jugular and you take him out. You go deep, you get a big play, and then boom, you score, right? And I think that at times, those of us in the media and the fan base in Raider Nation get critical of Gruden saying that he's too conservative, right?
But we're a grinded-out team, and at that point, you don't want the Chargers getting the ball back. There was no – if it's Kansas City, you go for the jugular. When you're playing an inferior team, you just want a first down, run the clock, and get out of there. But I just didn't understand it. If you're going to do that, don't line up and act like you're going to go for it. Go for it. You know, because your defense – two plays later, Chargers were already where we went for it. Two plays, and that was just, like, mind-boggling to me.
Well, and you bring up a good point. It's the same mentality he used, though, before the first half with the disaster that happened before the end of the first half, right? He said after the game that, because they asked him, why didn't you just kneel and go in tied? And he said, well, we had Darren Waller on a pass. If he would have gotten the pass there, it would have been a touchdown. So
no, I don't mind that. Yeah. But if you're going to do that, you've got to go for it on fourth down. If you're going to take that call and go into double coverage 30 yards down the field, your defense isn't that. And the defense wouldn't have took any flack today because this game would have been an easy win. We would have walked off the field. If we run Jacobs there, say we get a yard and a half, we're going for it on 4th and inches. We're not even having this conversation. I don't hear Colin Cowherd say, oh, I think that might have been a catch. And the Raiders just barely beat the Chargers. They didn't really just barely beat this team. We dominated until we gave them the momentum.
True. That's true. No, and you made great points there. I appreciate the call, Charles. Thanks for listening, man. Yeah, Q, I think he's dead on with that. I mean, I get it. I just think that we, you know, so many times in situations, I agree with him. Yeah, why not just run the ball? You've been dominating the line of scrimmage. Your offensive line was doing great. But they saw something that made them go downfield thinking that they maybe could knock a land out punch.
Yeah, I mean, they were trying to catch him off guard because everyone and their mother expected a run there, including myself, and it wasn't, you know. And so I think that they had a good shot, and Henry Ruggs got to keep himself in bounds. You know, that's one of those things. He's got to learn how to stay in bounds. He's got to realize that he's got to catch the ball with both feet in bounds, and then if he has to drag his back foot, that's what he has to do. And there's actually pictures of there being plenty of room for him to drag that foot. Instead, he kind of took that big second step, and that's what made him land out of bounds.
Yeah, and I'm not concerned with his development. That's a perfect example of where he needs to work on his technique, because you're not in college anymore. It's not one foot. You got to get both in, and you had the room to do it and you just didn't do it. But again, they can be patient with him because they've had guys like Aguilar step up. They have Hunter Renfrow who produces when they need him to. And now if Bryan Edwards gets on the field a little more and starts to play and get some balls too, along with Waller and Witten and Moreau, they're fine. And there's no sense in rushing the kid, especially if he's having some trouble adapting. It's not a big deal. But Charles, thanks for the call. Okay, it is the top of the first hour. Just to reset a little bit, coming up at the top of the second hour at 3 o'clock, Dieter Kurtenbach, the columnist for the Bay Area News Group. Dieter will be with us. He's going to talk about his column that he wrote after the Charger game where he admitted that Tom Cable was a good hire and might have been the best hire that John Gruden made when coming back. And I know a lot of people were polarized on that one, but he's got some good, I think, feedback there. And I don't know, is Dieter, like, I'm not a Bay Area guy, Q. Is Dieter like one of those guys that Raider Nation has a mixed reaction to?
I've had no problem with him. I think he's a good dude. You know, I think some people are just kind of whatever for certain people, but I think he's pretty good dude.
It's just funny. I had somebody comment on Twitter like, oh, this should be interesting. And I'm like, what does that mean? You know, I know our friend Josh DeBoe. I know the issues people have with him because
he said, hey, yeah. what is the issue? Like, why does he always like, what is the problem? Where did the riff come from? Someone asked me that and I have no idea.
Because he went when the Raider he basically uses statistics. Josh.
No, I know. I know what he does.
Right.
The question is, like someone said, it feels like he has an axe to grind with the team. Where did that come from? I guess that's the better question.
I think that's just fans who don't like it when they get negative stuff. Even if it's true. So it's funny. All right, we're gonna take that break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Dieter Kurtenbach with here. Oh, gosh, come on. Slap me. It's time to spit it out. It is Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. I will go make sure my mouth works after the break. Take care.